This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today we're going to have a little bit of a different show because this is the first ever show that has been inspired by a question that has come out of our Facebook group. Now, Oliver doesn't know that I'm going to do this, so this is going to be a little bit of a surprise for him when he hears this. But Oliver asked in our group a few weeks ago, what tactics can you employ to learn more about your competition besides viewing their social media feeds? And there was a bit of a discussion that went around this, and Nick commented, and I was in there, and there was a couple of other people. But actually, it spurred off a few thoughts in my mind that actually, you know what, this is a really good topic that we could explore on the podcast. So I wanted just to run through a few things about scoping out your competition. And hopefully this will be quite a practical episode, something that you'll be able to get out of it, and action in your own business. Now, I'm going to start talking throughout this episode about doing this for your own business. But of course, this process could work just as well for a client project as well. So from now on, for the rest of this episode, every time I say the words your own business, please also caveat that with or for your client. It's just going to make this whole talking thing one hell of a lot easier. So please make sure that it is not just for you, but it is also for any clients that you are working with as well, where you're having to scope competition. So the very first thing that you need to do when you're thinking about doing competitor research is having a plan. And you need to understand the four key things that you are trying to achieve by going through this exercise. Now, when you do competitor research, the reality is you'll probably look at more than one competitor for either your business or your client's business. So I'd recommend you probably don't want more than 4, 5, 6 absolute tops, because otherwise what can happen is you can simply become data blind, and the whole purpose of this is to try and give you some direction in your own marketing or the marketing of your client. So you don't want that blindness to happen. You need to pick the competitors that matter the most to your client or to your business, and they may be not necessarily the people that are doing exactly what you want. They might not be the design shop that's down the road in your own town. They might be that person, but they might not be. They might be the people that you are actually wanting to outrank in the search engine. So these could be businesses that you've never actually done any business with before. You might not know a lot about them, but you know that from your own keyword research that you've done so far, these businesses are appearing quite a lot. So actually, you want to look into them a bit deeper. The other thing, of course, with scoping out clients is that it does help if you do this in kind of one hit right at the start of a project or of a new marketing plan or of a business year, whatever it might be, as a sort of milestone activity. But there's nothing stopping you at all from running this research on a new website or a new company as you come across them, just as time goes by. In fact, to be perfectly frank, that's really quite a healthy process to do. So if you don't think that once you've done this you have to forget it forever, it probably won't rewrite your entire marketing strategy if you do it later down the line, but you might start to get influences that do change things a little bit as time goes by. So what are the four things that you want to achieve from scoping out any competitor? They are: you want to understand the competitor's priorities. So what are the things that are important to their business? What are the things that they're doing well in terms of their online presence? What are the things that they're doing not so well in terms of their online presence? And finally, what are the things that they haven't thought of yet? So once you understand what they're doing and you've got a bigger picture of what your client does or your business does and all of the different aspects that that may cover, where are the holes? Where's the chinks in their armor that are either the things that they're not doing so great or the things that they haven't even thought of yet? Because they are the lowest hanging fruit for you to go after. So they're the four things. What's their priorities? What are the things that they're doing well? What are the things they're doing not so well? And what are the things that they haven't thought of yet? So what you're going to do is you're going to go into your competitive research with the following method. You're going to look at the structure of each competitor. You're going to look at the keywords that competitor is ranking for. You're going to look at their call to actions, their boosts, their pop-ups, the things that they want to literally pop up in front of your eyes to drag your attention. If you can, you want to look at their ads, and you also want to look at their social media. Now, Oliver, I know you mentioned social media in your post, and you mentioned that you didn't, you know, what are the things other than that? So at that point, mate, you can switch off because you're obviously doing that. But in terms of doing a podcast that surrounds the whole thing, I did want to mention it. So they're the things that that's the plan. That's what we need to find out. We're now going to just spend a few minutes looking at the different ways of how to do it. Now, I've been asked loads of times about the tools that we use, and the reality of it is that the more you start serving clients and the more that you start offering these things as services, the reality is the more you're going to have to invest in some key software. And that simply goes with the perception of, you know, you want to do a better job, therefore you need better tools. A workman is only as good as his tools. We've all heard that expression before, and it is dead right in this place. Now, I've mentioned numerous times before, I use SEMrush for all of our SEO work and all of our client sort of content creation, that kind of thing. SEMrush is a fantastic, absolutely fantastic piece of software, but it ain't cheap, okay? Our license costs us about 500 quid a month. And when you break that down on a per client basis, it's not that much per client. It's just that we've had to build our way up to doing that. Now, SEMrush, in fairness, does have cheaper plans. We started on one of their basic plans. You can then put some bolt-ons on that buy you through a bit more time, and then eventually you get to a point where it's more cost-effective for you to remove some of those bolt-ons and just upgrade your basic package. And my gripe with SEMrush, if I'm being perfectly honest, is that the jump between levels of packages is quite substantial. So we're actually on their mid-level package, and as I say, it's just shy of 500 quid a month. But we were on their cheaper package. I think their cheapest one's something like 150 quid a month. And then, as I say, we then did put some bolt-ons on, which takes the pain out of it a little bit, but you do have to get to that point where you think, right, okay, I've just got too many bolt-ons here, and I now need to upgrade. So really, you need to go and find some software. Now, of course, if you've not got the software or you don't want to invest in the software yourself, I should say SEMrush just does work on month in, month out, and I think they have a free trial. If you go to peteeverett.com/SEMrush, it will forward you onto their pricing page, and you can see all the options. I think they have a free trial, and they are month in, month out, so you don't have to pay for it over and over and over again. I'm not recommending software that you need a 12-month contract for or anything like that. Just that you are going to need some kind of premium software. The other market leader, which a number of my contemporaries use, is Ahrefs. It does a very, very similar job to SEMrush. There's two reasons why I use SEMrush over Ahrefs. They also cost about the same. I should just add that in. But the two reasons that I prefer SEMrush are, firstly, back in the day, this may have changed, but back in the day when I used to use, both systems at one point, Ahrefs had its own scale for things. So SEMrush is great because it works in percentages and everybody can understand percentages. And if I run a report and then the client wants to see that report, then you know what? It's in a language that they understand. It's in a scale that they understand. Ahrefs kind of had its own marking system. It's a bit like when you go to Moz, and rather than just getting your domain authority, you get the Moz scale of your domain. And you kind of think, right, that's great. I've got a 57, but does that mean I'm an equivalent of a tortoise or a hare? You just don't know. That it removes that level of context. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was that, obviously, I'm based in the UK. We do have clients across the world, but the SEMrush database did seem to be more up to date with the UK databases from the search engines. Again, that may have changed. And ultimately, these things come down to what you feel comfortable using. So if they've both got free trials, go and try them out. Go and pick the one. If you choose Ahrefs over SEMrush, you know what I mean, I'm not going to fall out with you. I'm not that passionate about it. They were just my decisions for going down the SEMrush route. We do recommend a piece of software in our SEO course called SE Ranking. That will do a part of what we're about to discuss, but it's far cheaper. It's like $20 a month. But there are certain things that it won't do. And so maybe if you're looking at this for your own business and you are, your budgets are a bit tight, you're in a startup phase or something like that, then that is an option, but just be aware it's only going to give you part of the picture. So what's the process that we go through? So with every competitor that we encounter, when we're doing this for a client or if you're doing it for your own business, one of the first things is you simply just want to go and browse their website, okay? You want to go, maybe even map it out. We use a family tree type diagram when we're mapping out client sites that we're going to build or optimize. So you know what? We go and do the same thing with their competitors. Just go and create a quick tree diagram. You don't have to get every page on their website, but make sure that you've got the key landing pages, the key pages that they're trying to push. Maybe look at their blogs or their news articles and see which are the most popular categories, both in terms of things that have been shared, but also in terms of the categories that have the most posts in them, because they're normally the categories that are most important to the competitor that you're looking at. So go and draw this tree diagram. You then want to go into one of these. I should just jump in there and say, actually, if you've got a tool called Screaming Frog, which again, if you go to peteeverett.com/Screaming Frog, that's what's called a spider. That will actually go and crawl the website for you and give you a list of all of the URLs that are in the website. It also has a sort of tree diagram that comes along with it. So you can actually do that quite quickly. The free version of Screaming Frog does limit how many URLs it will return. So if your competitor has a particularly big website, you may not get all of them using the free version of Screaming Frog. It's a one-off payment off the top of my head for the pro license, and I can't honestly remember how much it is. But that's a piece of another tool that you can use to go and look at that. So go and browse their site, make this map. You can use Screaming Frog if you want. Second thing is, whilst you're looking through their website, you also want to note any messages or pop-ups or the terminology that's in calls to actions. If the calls to actions are things like click here, click on it and see where they're trying to take you to. So you're trying to now mimic the user journey that they are trying to put on users that visit their website. You're trying to find out what their priorities are. That's the element that we're working at the minute. So browse their website and note any messages or pop-ups that come up. The third thing you're going to do is you're then going to take their URL and you're going to go over to your tool of choice. So that could be SEMrush, that could be Ahrefs, or that could be SE Ranking. If you use one of my, there are other tools out there, but they're the three that I recommend anyway. Go and drop their URL in there, and you're going to do a domain search for all of the keywords that they are ranking for. Now, when you get that report, if it's a website that's been around a while, there's going to be a lot of chaff terms that come in there. So, people are going to rank for things that are local to them that maybe don't have any relevance to their business, or they might have done something in, Trafalgar Square or somewhere, and rank for some completely random terms. So you do need to take this with a little bit of a pinch of salt, and you need to go through these lists and really sort of focus on, right, so which are the keywords that are intentional here? And if you've got your sitemap that you've drawn or exported, then actually you can expedite this process quite quickly. But you need to condense this list away from absolutely everything that they're ranked for. You don't really care that they rank for the, you know, the MD's cat's name. That's the thing you're trying to get out of your list. That's irrelevant. What are the priorities that they, you know, where are they putting their efforts? So you've then got your list of keywords. Now, the thing, if you've used SE ranking for this, you can do all of that, no problem. If you want to, you can also go and run a website health crawl on their website using any of the tools that I've just mentioned. We go into how we do that in the SEO course and how to understand that. It's one of the key modules in our course. But you can go and do that. And the purpose of doing that is to understand. So if they're in position one and they've got a site health of 52%, then actually, you know what? I just need to make my site cleaner than that. Make sure I've got a section that is structured similarly, make it better, and I'm going to displace them quite easily. So yeah, you need to, if you're an agency and you're listening to this, you can also then use that as a bit of cold outreach to go and maybe look for new clients in different markets if you want to. But hey, I'll throw that one in there as a side thought. So you then want to go and look at their ads. So these are the pay-per-click ads that they're running, ideally through Google Ads or Facebook or LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a bit of an odd one when it comes to pay-per-click because it's so ruddy expensive. It is untrue how expensive LinkedIn ads can be. And I know I could have Alex Curtis on here saying that he's run LinkedIn ads and that he's managed to compress the price. And I'm sure you can, and there's a method to it. But out of the box, it is so expensive that a lot of people sort of give up at that first hurdle. SEMrush, and I'm sure Ahrefs, however, will allow you to export certainly Google ads. They do have bolt-ons for things that surround social pay-per-click as well. But you want to ideally see the ads that these competitors are running. And the reason that you want to do that is because these are the terms that people are paying for. So that's why it's important. They're putting their hand in their pocket and paying to either appear for these keywords or appear for appear to these particular users. Now, if you've browsed their website and then you find that you get retargeting ads, so as you're looking through Facebook or Twitter or even just around the internet on the Google Display Network, you can right-click on a number of those ads and find out why you are being shown it. So you can also start to uncover some of the demographic profiling. You can start to uncover whether they're running retargeting at all. And if they are running retargeting, click on it. It doesn't matter that it's going to cost a bit of their money. Click on it and find out the page that you're going to land on. And again, add that to your mix of priorities. So, if you're using SE ranking, you can't do that bit that I've just mentioned. And it does, to be perfectly frank, it depends if your competitor's running ads or not. If your competitors aren't running ads, then you know what? It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But if they are, it's really quite a key piece of the jigsaw that you would be missing. Right. So you've browsed the site. You've made a sitemap. You've looked and noted any pop-ups, etc., that have come through. You've found their organic keywords that they're ranking based on their site structure, and you've then looked at their ads. So you've now got four sections to your competitor research. The fifth section is that you then want to go and do some secret shopping. Now, people often get freaked out at this point because I'm going to ask you either to submit a form on their website or pick up the phone and make a phone call. But I don't know, let's say that you're working with your competitors as design agencies. Oliver, I'm going to use you as the example with this because you are trying to do a white label project. Your company is a white label company to help design agencies to turn their designs into websites, ultimately. Let me know in the comments if I've got that wrong, but that's the gist of your business. So you're getting some free consultancy out of this, mate. So go and find another company that does the same thing that you do, one of these competitors, and ring up as if you're a client. So give them a call and say that you run XYZ Design Company and that you would like, you're just gathering some quotes and some information about how you can start turning websites, or this particular website, take your typical client, the client that you want to attract. You want to take one of these websites and turn it into a live website, and you're looking for a developer to do that. Can you help? Yes, great, okay, fantastic. And then go through the process and get the quote. This obviously means that you're now talking to an individual, and that's where some people can fall down. Some people don't like doing that. You need to sort of get over the fact that you're wasting somebody's time. That's not true. At the end of the day, you're doing your research. You're not being disingenuous. If you're doing this wrong, because then you're going to get the wrong output anyway. So what you're doing is ultimately some secret shopping. Secret shopping is a tactic that has been used in the retail world, particularly in the automotive world, for decades. So you can Google it, there's loads of different ways of doing it. But I would recommend that you need to do that for at least one or two of these competitors. If you're working on five or six, you probably don't want to go and get five or six quotes. That's just a bit ridiculous. The other advantage you get back from that, of course, is that you then get some financial data so that you know whether the costs or the prices that you're delivering for your clients are above target, or above what you receive, under what you receive, or about the same. I'm not saying that you're marketing their business. I mean, that's the thing that you need to grasp with this. You're not marketing their business, but on the same note, if you're quoting something at $5,000 and they come in at £300, either they're massively too cheap or you're massively too expensive, and you probably need to do some thinking around how that is, how that works, etc. So go and do some secret shopping. Once you've gone and done your secret shopping, you can then go and do your own independent keyword research. Now, in our agency, the way we do this is we actually do separate out the competitor analysis from the keyword research, because the most important part of everything I have said is that what you're doing is research. You are not, and I stress not, trying to market your competitor's business or the competitors of your clients. What you are trying to do is ascertain the things that they are doing so that you can do them better or find other angles in. So you cannot taint all of your work with your competitor research. That said, obviously you do need to apply that knowledge that you gain from your competitor research into your overall strategy. So go and do your own independent keyword research. If there's only you, then what you've got to either do your initial keyword research first before you start with competitors, or give yourself a day, get the competitor stuff out of your head and go and do your keyword research so that it is fresh, and then go and review it in line with that competitor research that you've already carried out. Or if you're doing the keyword research first, go do it, park it, go do your competitors and then review it at the end. So hopefully that all makes sense. Once you've done all of that, the keywords that are left over that you've not that you've researched that you thought might be part of your strategy, just because your competitor hasn't used them, does that mean that that is a hole that you can fill? Because if you can identify those holes, and this is especially key if you are doing this for a client. Part of the problem with doing competitor research when you're doing it for a client is that you're aware they are paying you a premium to do it. And as a result, they need to see some kind of return off the back of it. Now, in competitive markets, that return can take months and months and months to come. And we want to work with the client for all of that time. So if we can identify holes right at this early stage of doing this research, then they're the first things we're going to plug, because all of a sudden our bill can turn into a return on investment real quick, and we're then on a very good footing with the client, and we can then build that relationship over time. So if you can identify those holes, that is where the early quick wins are. I should also say that those holes may be things like they asked you to sign up for a newsletter and you signed up, and they don't deliver them consistently. You get once every blue moon, or you get three in one week and then nothing for a week, and then you get two the following week. So I know those kind of things take a bit of time to come through, but it's all part of the overall user experience of your website. And what's your website trying to do is turn people who didn't know you before you started into paying customers. That's the journey that you're wanting to take people on. So just as important as keywords and key messages and landing pages and ads, it's also about that user experience. Because if you rank your website exactly the same as theirs, you know what? It's that user experience that's going to make the difference between you getting the sale and them getting the sale. So you need to try and encompass all of that. So finally, can you identify any new angles? I find it useful to then keep a document of all of that that we have researched. Again, if you're using tools like SEMrush, you can store a lot of this data in there, so you don't actually have to export it and put it into a folder. And because it's the only tool we use, you know, everything's together anyway. You might want to think of your own way of doing that, but it's really important to keep those competitor data together. My final, if you hadn't noticed, I use SEMrush quite a lot. So my final thing that I would then do in SEMrush is I would go and set up a project for my own website. And in that project, I would have at least the site health module activated. So that is scanning my website every week, keeping it up to date with site health to make sure that just because of the health of the website, my rankings aren't going to be affected. The second thing I would do is set up a position tracking module, and I would put in there all of the keywords that I want to track, and I would tag them appropriately. And I would then also put, with position tracking in SEMrush, you can then include your competitor URLs. So those competitors that we've been looking at, they would be in there as well. And then the third thing I would do is set up the social listening module, and so that I can see, what's my best engaged posts, which posts are driving traffic, which aren't, which are bouncing, which maybe aren't getting link clicks, but they're getting lots of comments, all of that kind of thing. So that's how I would do it. There's one tool I did forget to mention right up at the top when we were talking about keyword research, and that is BuzzSumo. So BuzzSumo allows you to put in a topic, and it will give you a list of headlines based on the number of shares that they've had. Now, if you're in a particularly broad market, this tactic doesn't really work all that well. But if you're in more of a niche market, then actually by looking at BuzzSumo, you can put in some of your keywords that you're getting. You could use even this as part of your keyword research process. Put in some of the key terms that you're wanting to rank for, and just see if your competitors come up in the BuzzSumo results. And if they do, which page was it? What was the title? You can then also see the number of shares, etc. it had. So that's all good data to have. So hopefully that has been really useful. I'd love to know if you found it helpful at all. It's been a bit of a brain dump about scoping out competition, but Oliver's question. Oliver, thank you, mate, for putting that in the group. It was such a good question that I just thought it had to become an episode. So, let me know in our group if that has been useful, if there's anything else you do as part of your competitor research, if there's anything that you've taken away from it that you're going to try next time. If you try it, let me know how you get on. So I hope that's been useful, and I look forward to seeing you next week.